I just want to pray for us, please. Now, Father, God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, for your goodness, Lord God. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are good, Lord God. And that it's your goodness that leads us, Lord God, your children, to repentance, Lord God. That we can know, God, that whatever happens to us, it will work out for the best. Because we are called according to your name, Lord God, and we are really seeking to know you, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, that we can just come with confidence before you, Lord God, knowing that we have a high priest that was tempted in every way as we are, yet you've never sinned. That you were the lamb that was spotless, without blemish, that you've paid the price for us on the cross. And therefore we can come into the holies of holies, into your throne room at any time we want with confidence because of the price that you've paid for us, the sacrifice once and for all. And God, I just want to bring this time now before you, Lord, and that the words of my mouth, Lord God, and the dedication of my heart, God, will be acceptable unto you in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Fred was supposed to preach here this morning, and on Tuesday I heard he was flying on Thursday to Tennessee, to Nashville. So I was thinking, okay, I'm probably going to preach now. So I was wanting to grow a goat beard, but I didn't have time. And I tried my accent and it didn't work, so I thought I'll just bring the message that he was going to preach here probably this morning, because I heard it twice. And the one, we were at the pastor's retreat, we just relaxed and we ate chocolate. It was really amazing in Franschhoek. And then he shared it with us, and then at the staff devotional as well. So I've taken his message, but I've adapted it a little bit to suit my style, and that what I'm seeing, just some scriptures that I've added according to how my understanding is. So this is not something that was birthed in prayer with me and God, but really what I believe is a word in season for everybody. And it's very significant. I really believe that, because there's something else that I also wanted to preach after my... I watched that movie, 12 Years a Slave. I saw Nicola there somewhere. And I eventually saw it. So I've got actually a sermon that I want to build that just God spoke to me very powerfully because of that. But that will probably have to happen next week. But I'm calling this sermon Fruits of Wisdom. And Fred's calling it something like jealousy, something about jealousy and envy. But you'll see where I'm getting at. But when you look at wisdom in the Bible, there's these parables of wisdom. The 10 virgins, 5 of them are foolish and 5 of them are wise. And I've done a sermon some time ago on that as well. But the significant thing here is that it's talking about believers, people expecting Jesus to return. 5 of them are wise, 5 of them are foolish. The wise ones had extra oil. There was something different that they had. The foolish ones did not enter the kingdom of God, but they were all expecting Jesus to return. So there's something about wisdom, godly wisdom, and something that the Bible talks about, a foolishness. And then the next parable, so I'm not going to go in that, but there's something that I'm sensing to myself. God, am I where I should be? Is this where you want me to be? Am I the wise one, or am I the foolish one? Because in Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27, it talks about everyone, and it's talking to believers again. It says, everyone who hears these words of mine, the words of Christ, who hears the word of God, that hears them and does them, will be like wise men. So they hear the word, and they are doers of the word. They will be like wise men who built the house on the rock. And when the rain fell, the floods come, the winds blow, and they beat on that house, it did not fall, because it has been founded on the rock. And I believe the rock here is Christ. It's Jesus standing in faith, believing God for who God says he is. Not looking at the world, but looking at faith. Not trusting in people around me, not trusting in my finances, my salaries, or people to come through for me, but trusting in who God is. Then it says, it continues in saying that, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house in the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So the difference here is the storms come, the winds come to both. And you know, we many times make this mistake. We say that we think or we believe that if we are believers, nothing bad will happen to us because we are the head and not the tail, and I'm a son of God, and I thank you, God, that, you know, and we start praying prayers thinking that nothing bad will happen to us. But basically, what you see in the scripture, bad things will happen to all people. But the ones whose foundation is on Christ, they stand. And you might lose your house. You might lose your job. It's still standing when you're believing that God is good. You might lose your marriage. You might lose many things. But if you can stand on the goodness of God, you are standing. Because I believe this is spiritual. This is not for stuff. This is spiritual. And many people, when they take the knocks, is they want to lose their trust in God, believing that God is good and who God is, because it comes for all of us. All of us will go through hard times, persecutions. And those ones who believe in God, who stand on the Word, whose foundation is on the Word of God. And this is something where Pastor Fred talked about fundamentalist. They have foundation in Christ. They are, I believe, almost like crazy for Jesus. There's that place where we just trust in Him completely, that we stand even though the storms come. Now, James 3, and I've been wanting to talk, preach about this quite a while ago, but verse 12 says, can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. And then it says, who is wise and understanding amongst you? So now, just to look at the wisdom of God, who is wise and understanding amongst you? And then he answers his questions by saying, by his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. So if we are wise and understanding, by our good conduct, we will show works in meekness of wisdom. There will be something that will come from out of that place. But, and this is where I'm wanting to come to, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambitions in your heart, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but it's earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. And it's not something that one preached on ever. You never hear sermons on jealousy and envy. But the Word here says very clearly that if there's jealousy and selfish ambitions, there will be disorder. There will be vile practice amongst that. And jealousy is something that is a sin of the heart. You don't know if someone else is jealous because it's in the heart. And people don't tell you when they are jealous of you or they're envious of you. It's something that they sit with, that they walk with. And it says that this is wisdom that is earthly, it's unspiritual, it's demonic. And what I'm seeing, there's a wisdom that is foolish or it's demonic on the one side, and there's a wisdom that is godly, that is from above. And the difference between the two here is the fruit, that it manifests in the fruit. And I think one indicator is envy, jealousy, selfish ambition. Then when it becomes about me and I, what I want, what I believe is right, when someone says to you, yes, but, you know, we feel we must do that, and they will always tell you, yes, but, yes, but, yes, but, because they want to have their own way. Their own way is very, very important to themselves. Verse 17 says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. So we many times talk about secret sins and immediately the guy thinks pornography, no, I'm okay there. But I think secret sins can be envy, it can be jealousy. And it's something that we can walk around with our whole lives. And I believe there's something that we can't come to the fullness of what God has called us for because of this thing that is in our hearts, that we do not allow God to deal with because we never talk about things like that. And I really believe jealousy here is a key that God wants to bring into the open, that we can deal with it. But jealousy means that that we are envious or fearful of being replaced by a rival. So, for example, if a man likes this girl or he's going out with her and now suddenly there's a new guy, there's a feeling, an emotion that comes in your heart, which is called jealousy, because you don't want to be replaced. I was at supper with people some time ago, and they said this man and woman got married, but they were engaged. This girl was engaged to another man, and on the border of Namibia, this man was standing in the row, and the two of them started talking. And the fiancé came to her and said, "Who was that guy?" The first time he ever said it in his life, "Who was that guy?" And no, it's nobody. And it was nobody at that stage, but they met up again and now they are married. But there was something that this guy picked up and he knew immediately there's danger. And I think that's that jealousy that came over him. He just knew he's going to be replaced, which he was. But for me, in the kingdom of God, jealousy is trusting that God is good, that God is good, that trusting that God knows what is the best for me. That guy should have known that girl is not right for me. Maybe he didn't hear from God, but God in his wisdom caused that man to be on that border to save him from something that he shouldn't have had. When I was in school, I shared it some time ago, there was this girl, I liked her so much. I thought she was amazing. And I told all my friends, but the bad thing was all my friends knew that she liked my best friend, and they didn't tell me. And that was terrible, because everyone knew. And when it came out, I was the guy that's like, I was the fool. And I felt terrible. I felt jealous of my friend. I was angry. And now my whole circle of friends is like with him because he's the cool guy with the cool girl. And I'm nobody, you know. So I'm being replaced. And there's this anger in me. But what is amazing is God knew what he was doing. Because now after many years, I saw this girl in the gym on Friday. She's now a grandmother. She and my friend had a baby, and their baby is now a father as well, but all out of wedlock. So actually, I've been saved from a lot of tears and hidings from my dad as well. So God knew that there was something good going to come from this. And, you know, there's a place that, with jealousy, that we must believe, have faith, that God is in this thing. And just sometimes, you know, when we believe God has a calling on our lives, that there's no person here that can determine my calling or your calling. It's only God that can determine our callings, where God wants to use us. So this, I can't prevent any person here from walking into the fullness of what God has called you. I believe it's only us. It's only our own foolishness that really can prevent us from walking into the fullness of what God had called us for. But this word of jealousy, we become envious where other people achieve. When people have something, they have a great house or a great car. We were talking about with Brad. He's talking about the new up and coming generations and how marketing works. And he says there's guys that live in Soweto, then they drive with a Ferrari. And they don't want to, like he says, our generation will buy whiskey. And if it's a good taste, then we'll say, no, I only paid 30 rand for it. I don't know, I think whiskey costs 30 rand anymore. But for them, they want you to know this is the best. It costs 500 rand a bottle or whatever the case might be, because it's completely different to them. And for us, we can become very jealous when people become successful and we are not. But it's because I believe we're not trusting that God is in control of my life, that God is taking me to a different place, to maybe where that person is going. So jealousy can come and emotions like anger, resentment, inadequacy, helplessness, or disgust can develop to people around us. And it's many times because of self or low self-esteem. We are sad because of a perceived loss, is uncertainty, we feel lonely. But it's that place that we must come back to. God, what is your heart? What is your will for my life? Proverbs 27 says, "What wrath is cruel, anger is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy?" All of us are chosen by God. We haven't chosen God. God has chosen us. Each one of us. Each one of us, like we prayed over these babies, have been chosen by God from the foundation of the world. When God said, "Let there be light," He had us in mind. God had chosen us. But only one of us can be the president at a time. So if I'm chosen to be president now, and Kurt is elected, there can be a feeling of jealousy because he was chosen. And this is where we must understand, I really believe, I just want to take you to John 15 verse 16 says, "You did not choose me," God, Jesus says, "you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you." God had chosen us and appointed us that we can bear fruit, and the fruit that we bear will abide, will continue. We will walk in the fruit of God so that whatever we ask, that we can come to a place that we can ask the nations and God will give us the ends of the earth as our inheritance, that we can call in the promises of God. But when we are chosen, there are going to be people who are not chosen. So for me to be elected, someone else might not be elected. And this is where we can open ourselves up for a spirit of jealousy, where we can become jealous of someone else's calling, because why am I not the president of the United States? I've done everything in my power to become that. And now they choose, I can't believe they choose Johan. You know who Johan is, and I made that mistake when I was in Somerset West a year. I was a cell leader, and Ian Bardenos got chosen to be the district leader for Somerset West. And I criticized in my mind, and I was envious of Ian, and I thought, yes, Ian is so loud, and I was speaking against Ian in my mind, and I was getting angry with Ian because it should have been me. And I was angry with Ian because he's now the chosen of God. And you know, the amazing thing was, in my cell, I had a guy and he was talking against me all the time. And I was like, "God, what's wrong here?" And then God showed me it was because I was speaking against Ian, that this guy was speaking against me. So I repented and I went to Ian, and he's a loud guy. If you don't know Ian, he says amen at the top of his voice. He's an amazing guy. I love Ian now so much. But I went to him and I said to him, "Ian, you know, I've been harboring a secret sin in my heart towards you, and I just want to repent to you because," and he's like, "Oh," and he grabbed me, he's big, he's very big, and he kissed me on my cheek, and he forgave me, and I felt all wet. And that's Ian, you know, he's just such an amazing guy, he's such an amazing guy, but there was jealousy in my heart towards this guy, and I had to deal with that. And then later on, when I became Hercules asked me to become the shofar, or I must join shofar. I went to him to go and resign as a district leader for Somerset West because I was angry with him and I felt he dealt incorrectly with me and they shouldn't talk to people like that. So I walked in there to resign, and then he says, "No, man, sit. We actually been thinking or feeling God called you into ministry. You must go and pray about that." So that was a bit of a curveball for me. But then I came into ministry, and there was a lot of praying and crying on behalf of the Van Houten family in that time. But I felt in my heart God called me to be the pastor here in Somerset West. But then when I came in, they said, "No, we need an office manager." And this is where I had the privilege to meet Machli and Amu and some of the other guys who are now not here, and Kurt as well. And we really became very close there. But I felt that, you know, I was actually called here. And then I said to them, look, I can run both. And they said to me, no, you can't. You must just focus on Stellenbosch. So they appointed many people that fell away, but I was sort of like handling Somerset West. We were like two people on Sunday nights having church here, me and Ian, and someone came to preach to us. And one of two of you as well, sometimes now and then came. But then at the end of the year, Andre said to me, Theo, we believe you're going to be ordained to be the pastor here, and are you ready for it? And I'm like, yes. You know, if you feel that's God, you know, that's right with you. So then I was standing there. I was really believing this is not going to happen. And in the next moment, everything changed again. It's going to be Paul Creer. Now, Paul Creer was my first cell leader when I came into Shofar. He was an amazing man of God. I really loved this guy. And I knew he was going to be the best guy for this church. I knew it. And in my heart, I was like, what about me? So when Skip came to me the one day and he said to me, do you want to go on holiday? I said, yes, please. So we went on holiday and I was praying there. And I just said, God, did I miss it? And I was feeling sorry for myself. And I just felt God saying to me, I've called you to pray and I've called you to serve. And I'm like, oh, God, I repented. And I came back and I gave everything to Paul in my heart. And I'm seeing Paul's not taking everything, but I'm giving it to him, and he's not taking it, but I don't understand it, but I just submit to the purposes of God. And Sias came to me, and he said to me, Theo, that you're here. And I said, yeah, what? But then he dropped in my spirit, and he said, we're sending you to Afghanistan. I said, praise God, as long as it is not Maldives. I'll go anywhere in the world, but I will not. I refuse to go to the Maldives. So then I got appointed. But there's a place that I knew in my heart. Nothing in the natural seemed to be like that. And all the choices that was made sense, because I believe all those people really had callings from God. And, you know, if God chooses now maybe someone else, like God feels that the church needs a prettier guy to lead, like Kurt, then it's God's choice. And God knows what is good for this church or what's good for me. Then if I harbor jealousy against the pretty face, I'll open my heart for a spirit of jealousy. And I think this is where we make the mistake, because now I want it for me and I'm not prepared to wait and trust that God's purposes is for me. Or, you know, like having Heinrich coming here. I mean, Heinrich released me into ministry. It's intimidating to have a guy like that walking in here and you're like, that's probably their way of firing me. They're just wanting to, you know. It's easy to go that way, you know. You want to go that way in your mind. But we have to believe that God has chosen us. And he has different callings on all of us. And God knows what is best for each one. And that we shouldn't be jealous of one another. Other people's callings and ministries and what they own and what they don't own. You know, there's some people that come and they write and they get commission or they get salaries that is like twice what I get in 5 years. You know, and that's amazing. God blessed them with that. And you know, it's great to see where God is really building and blessing people. Now, John the Baptist, when he appoints Jesus, he says, this is the Messiah to come. And then he says, I must decrease so that he must increase. Now, that's what John says, and you, amen. And it's easy to say those things, and you can preach it from the pulpit, but now John, in Matthew 11, is in prison. John is in prison, and he says, and he hears about the deeds of Christ, and he sends word by one of his disciples, are you the one to come, or are we looking for another one? He spoke all those amazing things, but now he's in prison and now he's feeling sorry for himself. And Jesus said to them, go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. The kingdom of God is coming through God's purposes. We mustn't be jealous of what God is wanting to do. Because Jesus must increase and we must decrease. It's not about who I am. So if God chooses Kurt or Heinrich or Johan or Jaku, and I'm not chosen anymore, I sit in prison, I must rejoice and pray, God, I pray for their callings. What Paul really got right. In prison, he was praying for these people because God's purposes for Paul was bigger than what we can understand. We only understand his purposes now. We only understand John's calling now. Then it didn't make sense to him because God is in control. Then Jesus says to them, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Because we can get offended with Christ when we look at other people and we want to desire what they have and what we don't have. And I just want to give you some examples in the Bible of where people were jealous of someone else. Cain and Abel. Cain brought to the Lord an offering of fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. Have you seen that? I've seen it a few times. Someone is angry and their face fell because they can see it should have been me. Why not me? And they are angry because of that. And then God says to Cain, the Lord says to him, why are you angry? Why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. He was jealous because his brother was accepted and he wasn't. But there was sin in his heart. And this is when that thing in your heart comes, we must rule over it. I shared with Heinrich, Anton Mayberg, we call him Chuck Norris. When he was right in the beginning, I didn't like Anton much. Now I love him. I think he's the most amazing guy. And we had a girl, shame, she was not having a good time, but she was screaming at the top of her lungs outside here. And Kurt and I had our hands full because he was like in the corner of the building like that, and she came down. I don't know if you saw that horror movie, but it was worse than that. So, and Anton is sitting here, and I'm saying, yes, we have Chuck Norris in the church, and he doesn't come to help us. But then Heinrich said he doesn't fight demons anymore, he just fights principalities. But Anton is just one of those guys, you know, he's such an amazing guy. And sometimes we must just give ourselves time. Because God's love for all people is so amazing. And we might think differently about people because we look at them and we have these perceived ideas because of low self-esteem. Because not having relationship with God, not believing that who I am is who God made me to be. The walk that I had to walk, God was there all the way. And he's preparing me differently. And maybe if I go now to heaven, then it's going to be amazing. I read a book of the Azusa Street Revival where these people in their 80s or in the 1960s, they were about 70 years old, and they still, many miracles followed them. Like this one guy died, and then this young guy prayed for him and he got resurrected, and he was angry with him. Why did you pray for me? Because it was so amazing in heaven. And then he got a message about 6 years later saying, that man died 3 days ago, he's buried in the ground, and they just want you to know, but he only wanted you to know after he was buried in the ground because he was afraid you were going to come and pray for him again. So he just laughed because when we're in heaven, it's going to be amazing, and we're going to be angry if someone prays for us and we come back to earth because we want to be with God. Joseph and his brothers, I'm just going to read in Genesis 37, but his brothers were jealous of him. And because of that jealousy, they did bad things to their brother. They sold him into slavery because of jealousy that was in their hearts. Not trusting that God's hand is on their brothers, but also on them. There's a purpose for their lives according to the promises of Abraham on their lives. But they were jealous of their brother. David and Saul in 1 Samuel 18, the women were singing, Saul killed thousands, but David killed 10,000. And Saul got angry and it displeased him. And it and then he eyed David from that day off onwards. And it says the next verse 10, the next day a harmful spirit from God rushed on Saul. And he raved within his house. It's not with the music. It wasn't like raving like that. It's different. While David was playing the lyre. And he did that day by day. David had his spear in his hand. And he wanted to destroy David and David's calling. He should have celebrated what God was doing in David's life. But he got jealous because God chosen David. And it caused his family to be destroyed. And David's heart was never to destroy Saul. It was always to bless. Don't touch God's anointed. But his heart got hardened because of jealousy in his heart. A harmful spirit came because he was jealous of the calling of David on his life. It says Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but he departed from Saul. Psalm 106, verse 16, Moses and the Korah rebellion. There's these guys, Korah is a cousin of Moses and Aaron, and they speak against them, say, I know that guy. I know what he was like. God did not choose him. He chose me. And God says to them, Moses stands up and he says, if you are for Korah, go and stand on that side. Those who are with me, come and stand on this side. And God opened the ground and these people got taken into ground straight to Hades, it says in the Bible. But Psalm 106 says, these men in the camp were jealous of Moses and Aaron, the Holy One of God. And the earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. Fire also broke out in the company. The flame burned up the wicked. But I believe there was a spirit of jealousy that came upon them because they did not celebrate God's chosen for the time. In the New Testament, Mark 15, for he, Pilate perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priest had delivered Jesus up. There was envy that the priest had to Jesus because they are not being used, but he's doing all these amazing things. And there was jealousy, and they had him arrested, and they said, crucify him, crucify him. There was hatred in their hearts because of this jealousy, this envy that came into their heart. It's like, ek genie vir jou dit nie. I don't want you to have that. I want it for me. It's about me. Also, Simon the sorcerer in Acts 8, verse 20, he said to Peter, I will give you money if you give me this anointing that I can pray for people and they receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter said to them, may your money be destroyed with you for thinking that God's gift can be bought. We cannot buy God's gift. We cannot do stuff for it. We can only believe for it. It's all through faith. It's all receiving God's goodness. It's not what we do. It's faith. You can have no, and then he says, you can have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God. Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts, for I can see that you are full of bitter jealousy. You are full of bitter jealousy, and you are held captive by sin. I believe he repented. I believe his heart turned to God because nothing bad happened to him. Something bad happened to Sapphira and Ananias. They died on the spot. But this guy, it didn't. So I really believe he repented. So the fruit of the Spirit, we're talking about fruit of wisdom, but the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, verse 19, says the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and those things. I've told you that you will not inherit the kingdom of God if you have that. And then he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, etc. And then verse 24 says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We must crucify these passions and desires to be the chosen one laid down so that God can do what he wants to do in each one of us individually. And then it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. In verse 26, let us not become conceited. That means proud or arrogant or self-important. That we not provoke one another, envying one another. So the fruit of the Spirit ends off that we should not be jealous, that we should not envy one another. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about that love is patient, it's kind. Love does not envy or boast. Does not insist on its own way. Because we trust who God is. We trust what God wants to do in my life. It's not because of what I see in the natural. I trust what God wants to do. And it's because of my relationship with Him that I believe that God wants to do amazing things in my life, in my family's life, over my children's life, even if it just means that I will never get any recognition for it. Because God's purposes comes to be fulfilled. It's about His kingdom. It's about God's kingdom. It's about those people getting saved, those people life who are changing, and not me getting the honor and glory for it, but God getting the honor and glory for it. And are we prepared to go and sit in the jail and suffer for God's purposes to come, or do we actually want the attention to be on ourselves? 1 Peter 2 says, we must put away all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. Envy, jealousy, slander, speaking against other people. But like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that we may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. We come into the sight of God because we are chosen and we're precious before Him. You yourselves, we are living stones. We are being built up as a spiritual house to a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So He says, don't be envious, don't be jealous, don't speak against one another because I'm busy with the process to build you up so that God gets the glory. We're all different stones being built up in this glorious house of God, the spiritual house so that we can bring sacrifice to God. And then verse 11 says, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. So that envy and jealousy, we must abstain from those things because it wars in us, and we cannot walk in the fullness because we always have this thing against that person because they've been chosen and we have not. Keep your conduct amongst the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. I believe the key against jealousy, envy is bringing honor. It's doing the good things of the Lord, but bringing honor to one another. This is where we guard ourselves, that as we bring honor to the ones around us, to the ones above us, to God, it will never be about us. We will never have to fight jealousy and envy because we know who God is. And then verse 15 says, for this is the will of God. Have you ever wondered what the will of God for your life is? Now here's one. This is the will of God. That by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. By doing good, live as people who are free. People who are free. Not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect. With all respect. Not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the unjust. Because God is in control. That boss that is nasty with you, that does not promote you, honor him. Respect. how we speak to one another. You know, on a Sunday, on Tuesday, Bernie brought this word, and he just talked about how the Japanese honor one another. This morning, all the songs were about honor. Did you see that? I really believe God is speaking to us about honoring one another. Because when I honor Kurt for what God has been doing in his life, or to Heinrich, or then there's a blessing in that. Because it's not about me anymore. It's about what God is doing through that person's life. So we must come in the opposite spirit. The kingdom of God is always about the opposite spirit. When someone wants to attack you, turn your other cheek. If someone speaks against you, keep quiet. If someone tells you, carry that thing for a mile, carry it for 2 miles. If he says, give me my coat, give him his undercoat. Coming in the opposite spirit, because I know who God is. I trust in who my God is. My God vindicates me. It's not I have to fight for my own rights. My own rights. It's God will vindicate me. Because I come to God. We come in the opposite spirit. So to honor will be the opposite of jealousy. To be content with who we are. To trust God that he is in control. You know, Numbers 5, it talks about the spirit of jealousy. Satan wanted to be like God, and he rebelled against God, and a third of the angels got thrown out of heaven because he wanted to be like him. I believe there was jealousy for who God was. And I believe this is where it wasn't maybe pride that he could do it better, but it's jealousy because of what God has done. And he's getting all the worship, but he wanted the worship. What I'm going to say now is a little bit controversial, but this is how I see it. I can be wrong, but this is what I believe happens. I believe jealousy can affect us two ways. It can affect me if I'm jealous over Stephen, but I believe it can also affect Stephen when I'm jealous over him, because I release a spirit that works against him. And now he's taking strain, and he doesn't understand what it's all about, but it's because of a spirit that I released against Stephen. And if a man have a wife, and there's other wives thinking that I would have been a better husband or better wife to that husband, he should have been mine, I believe, and there's jealousy there. No one talks about it, but I believe there's a spirit that gets released. And we pray and we do all these things, and this destruction that comes because of a spirit that of jealousy that operates amongst us. Because we not trusting God, but we're giving an open door for the enemy to take us out. So jealousy can be in our own hearts, but it can also be projected against us because it is amongst us. So this is just go and pray about it. If you don't believe that is true, this is really my revelation of this, of how it works. And if there's that spirit, other spirits can operate against you as well. I really believe this is why many of us and many churches get taken out, why many marriages are taking so much strain, and not necessarily husband and wife, but what I own or what this one owes, because I should have had better. I've done harder. I've worked harder. I deserve that. They shouldn't have it. So how do we counter it? How do we overcome the spirit of jealousy? This pride. The first thing is, because it can be both ways. For both ways, pride, we must humble ourselves. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. False humility. Don't underplay who we are in Christ. Don't agree with the father of lies when we downplay, devalue, deny, diminish our giftings of who we are. That it's wrong to seek honor, but when honor is given, say thank you. Say, oh no, it's not me. Don't do that. Say thank you. There's a place that we know we are in Christ, and if we get honored, receive the honor. The lie of displacement, that we are secure in our relationship with God. We are secure in our gifts. We know God has different timelines for different people. We know that if someone else is getting blessed and it's not me now, I know my God is good. My God is good because I'm his child and he is my father. I trust in him. I'm obedient to his word. Then the shield of honor. Surround yourself with people that honor you, that don't speak down against you. That's not breaking who you are, breaking down who you are, but people who honor you. Surround yourself with people like that. I really believe there's a covering in that when we honor one another. Give honor. And this is especially when you feel, oh, don't go to someone and say, I have forgiven you because you've done all these things against me. And this person doesn't even know. Now this person goes away and he's like, oh, what did I do against him? Oh, I'm such a bad person. Rather just go and honor that person. Say thank you or whatever. Just say something kind to a person. Give honor. Just the root of fear. Fear is the opposite of love. That we know that God is good and God's heart is for all of us. Proclaim the name of Christ, the name of God, who God is in our lives. So therefore, I just want to finish with this, that wisdom from God, from above, is first pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's open to reason, it's full of mercy and good fruit, it's impartial, it's sincere. So I just want to encourage all of us, and this includes me, that we stay at the feet of Christ and that we learn to honor one another. I really believe this is where the key is for all of us, to not be taken out because of envy and jealousy in our hearts, so that we can all know that God has a calling on all of us that's completely different. We all are members of the body of Christ. It's completely different, but it's not about who we are. It's about God's kingdom. That God gets the glory, that God gets the honor, that when the one hand washes the other hand, or gives, the other hand doesn't have to know about it. It's a place that we do things as unto the Lord, not as unto man, that man can see who I am. So if God is calling you to do a specific thing, that we can be confident in that. But I also believe we as brothers need one another to keep one accountable to these things. When there are secret sins in our hearts, like jealousy, that we can come to a brother and say, I'm struggling here. I believe that guy did me wrong, or I think that girl should have been my wife, or whatever it is, that we can just pray that the brother can speak godly wisdom into our lives, because we all get to that place where there's that girl and you feel it should have been yours, and we all go through those things, but we need one another to cover ourselves in God. So I just want to pray for us. Now, Father, I just want to thank you, God, for your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord God. And Lord, as we all come to times, Lord, where we become the Cains, Lord, and we're not ruling over our emotions, I really just want to ask you now, God, to highlight in our hearts if there's any envy or jealousy over any person that is causing obstruction or causing our hearts to be hardened, so that we cannot walk in the fullness of what you have called us for, Lord. Because maybe we've been slandering and speaking against someone, or even hating a person, God, and that hate is almost, we want them to be removed from this earth, because why not me? Why have you done this? And God, where we've not trusted in you, we just want to come now before you, Lord, and just ask you, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, to just forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, God, where we've been jealous over someone, in Jesus' name. And I just want to, as our eyes are closed, just give you the opportunity. If there's anyone that you know you've been envious of, that you've been jealous over, just bring it before God now. Just forgive, ask God for forgiveness, and pray that God will bless that person, especially in that area where you've been jealous over. So I just want to give you some time just to do business with the Lord. If you are not born again, if you've not come to a place where you've received the Spirit of God, we've become a new creature in Christ, the old is gone, the new has come, to a place where you surrendered, you've walked out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God, and you want to change your life today. You want to surrender yourself to the purposes of God, because maybe you've been going through really tough times and it feels like you're in a spiral and you're going down and down and down, and you don't know where to go anymore. You don't know what the route or the way out of this is. But now today, you know that it is the only way, is Jesus, because he's the way, the truth, and the life. And no one goes to the Father except through him. And you today know that you've got to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, but not only because You want to pray a prayer, but because you want to live a lifestyle. You want to surrender all that you have and walk with Christ. I'm going to ask you, if that is you, to just come forward that we can pray with you and help you to come to that fullness of who you are. If there's anyone else who needs prayer and maybe you're taking strain, maybe even in this area, you know that you're struggling and you've prayed, but your heart, you feel uncomfortable in your spirit. You know, you just want to speak to someone and say, help, just pray with me because this thing is eating me up. I want to encourage you to come forward. As I'm just going to ask everyone to stand, that now is a good time to walk forward. No one will know who you are. My God, I pray that you bless these people, Lord God, your people. I pray your goodness and your mercy over their lives, Lord God. And I pray for the fullness of God in their lives, in the name of Jesus. If anyone needs prayer, now is the time to go forward. We're going to dismiss the service. Enjoy your lunch today. And I really want to encourage you to come to Dr. Butterseye tonight. Next week he's going to F.W. de Klerk, and then he's going to Thabo Mbeki to go and minister to them. He did the funeral of P.W. de Buerta. I've got an amazing expectation of what this man is going to come and do here. He just wants to speak what God is saying on his for him. He's coming to my house to come and sleep and then to pray because he wants to hear what God is saying for us as a church. I really believe we're going to be blessed by this man, that we receive him as a prophet, so that we receive the prophet's reward. So I want to encourage you, come tonight again at 6 o'clock. You're not going to be sorry. You're going to have an encounter with God. I really believe that. I'm very excited. I've got a big expectation for what God is going to do tonight. So if you're hungry for God, you must be here tonight. So for the rest, we bless you. If anyone wants prayer, you're welcome to come forward now. May God bless you.